he just got married, and he's like, I don't know who's gonna have a baby or anything like that, but I think we did talk about like we talked about the coming of age, right? I'm so glad we don't do this live in person, because we're just gonna laugh and we won't stop. Okay, so
we'd just be rolling around the floor the whole time. But in 6 feet apart, non-sexual
six
way.
6 feet apart. 6 feet apart. So
yeah.
So with the like the religion and like the community, like with the sense of like individualism and stuff, like liberalism, you know, in the United States of America, like with the sexual revolution and stuff like that, the coming of age, it's not there no more. You think that's what it is? Like, you know, like they have rituals, like some people, like,
bar mitzvahs and all those
right kind of, and so like, you know, quinceañeras for like girls, you know, if they're 15 years old. I think I remember the tribe, I think it's like in the Amazon tribe, where they take bullet ants and put it in the boy's hand and let them,
bringing complex ideas down to earth based on their value, not group identity. This is the Daily Archetype.
If you want someone to remain ignorant, just make sure they think in groups of identity rather than groups of values. Let's promote understanding, not ignorance.
This is the Daily Archetype.
What's up, archetypal friends? I'm Isaac Miller, your host of the Daily Archetype. Today, we have with us the Great Boon. By the way, why I say the Great Boon, you must read Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces. He mentions that a lot, the Great Boon. I don't need to go into any more nerdy detail, but read that and know the hero's journey. It's for real and it's always going on. We had a really awesome talk. I'm gonna play in a minute her version of what free flow mind sex is. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want to make the distinction, her thing from my thing. I'm not trying to steal her thing. If you want to know more about her thing, I'll leave all the links in the show notes. Go listen to her podcast. It's really cool and getting better and better. She's getting new guests and co-hosts and all that. My thing is my own flow. And with Boone, we just record about monthly when we have time and just talk about what we feel like talking about. We'd gotten into this subject a little bit when we were deciding what to talk about, of my crazy exes and some of the crazy females that she's dealt with over the years. Basically, I got on this idea of this Jordan Peterson clip I'll play right before and after this podcast, where Jordan Peterson mentions how boys, and not just because of the porn culture, that's only like part of it, but because they choose not to grow up or mature, what woman would be attracted to 30-year-old infant or whatever? Only the crazies. So I was trying to take on the responsibility of bringing out the crazies, since that was kind of the subject. Also, I threw in a little clip from everybody's least favorite artist, Katy Perry, at the end of this. Maybe it'll make sense to you as to the unity of opposites kind of theme that we often get into here. But if it doesn't make sense to you because it's destroying your ears and you hate Katy Perry, totally understand. That's why I put it at the end. Just turn it off after the podcast and maybe after the other little short Jordan Peterson clip at the end. Support on Patreon and all the social medias. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Daily Archetype, a value-sharing community.
Free flow mind sex. Orgies of ideas multiplying into compressed information based on individualistic experiences, giving birth to wisdom that's contagious and dangerous. Fueled by what Jason Civil calls philosophical expressos.
This is the Peter Pan story, roughly speaking. Is Peter Pan is this magical boy. Pan is the god of everything, roughly speaking, right? And so it's not an accident that he has the name Pan. And he's the boy that won't grow up. And he's magical. Well, that's because children are magical. They can be anything. They're nothing but potential. And Peter Pan doesn't want to give that up. Why? Well, he's got some adults around him, but the main adult is Captain Hook. Well, who the hell wants to grow up to be Captain Hook? First of all, you've got a hook. Second, you're a tyrant. And third, you're chased by the dragon of chaos with a clock in its stomach, right? The crocodile, it's already got a piece of you. Well, that's what happens when you get older. Time has already got a piece of you. And eventually, it's got a taste for you. And eventually, it's going to eat you. And so Hook is so traumatized by that that he can't help but be a tyrant. And then Peter Pan looks at traumatized Hook and says, well, no, I'm not sacrificing my childhood for that. So that's fine, except he ends up king of the Lost Boys. In Neverland, well, Neverland doesn't exist, and who the hell wants to be king of the Lost Boys? And he also sacrifices the possibility that he'll have a real relationship with a woman, because that's Wendy, right? And she's kind of conservative, middle-class, London-dwelling girl. She wants to grow up and have kids and have a life. She accepts her mortality. She accepts her maturity. Peter Pan has to content himself with Tinkerbell. She doesn't even exist. She's like the fairy of porn. She doesn't exist. She's the substitute for the real thing. And so, but the dichotomy that you're talking about is very tricky because there's a sacrificial element in maturation, right? You have to sacrifice the pluripotentiality of childhood for the actuality of a frame. And the question is, well, why would you do that? Well, one reason is it happens to you whether you do it or not. You can either choose your damn limitation, or you can let it take you unaware when you're 30, or even worse, when you're 40. And then that is not a happy day. You see, I see people like this, and I think it's more and more common in our culture because people can put off maturity without suffering an immediate penalty. But all that happens is the penalty accrues. And then when it finally hits, it just wallops you. Because when you're 25, you can be an idiot. It's no problem. Even when you're out in a job search, it's like, well, you don't have any experience and you're kind of clueless. It's, yeah, you're young. You know, it's no problem. We can. That's what young people are like, but they're full of potential. Okay, well, now you're the same person at 30. It's like people aren't so thrilled about you at that point. It's like, what the hell have you been doing for the last 10 years? Well, I'm just as clueless as I was when I was 22. It's, yeah, but you're not 22. You're an old infant, right? And that's an ugly thing, an old infant. So part of the reason you choose your damn sacrifice, because the sacrifice is inevitable, but at least you get to choose it. And then there's something that's even more complex than that, in some sense, is that the problem with being a child is that all you are is potential, and it's really low resolution. You could be anything, but you're not anything. So then you go and you adopt an apprenticeship, roughly speaking, and then you become, at least you become something. And when you're something, that makes the world open up to you again. You know, like if you're a really good plumber, then you end up being far more than a plumber, right? You end up being a good employer. Not that plumbers, I'm not putting plumbers down. It's like more power to plumbers. They've saved more lives than doctors. So, hygiene, right? So, you know, if you're a really good plumber, well, then you have some employees, you run a business, you train some other people, you enlarge their lives, you're kind of a pillar of the community, you have your family. It's, you can, once you pass through that narrow training period, which narrows you and constricts you and develops you at the same time, then you can come out the other end with a bunch of new possibility at hand. And Jung talked about that. He thought that the proper part of the proper path of development in the last half of life was to rediscover the child that you left behind as you were apprenticing. And so then you get to be something and regain that potential at the same time. Very, very smart. Well, he was very, very smart. So that's very wise thing to know.
I am with the great Boone. We are talking about mindsets again.
We're not talking about mindsets.
What? See,
this is what happens when you take nappy nap before it's recording.
Okay. Well, no. Okay.
Are we not fighting? We're already fighting.
Okay, we're not talking about mind sex. We're talking, well, we are. Maybe we're talking about real sex. Last time, I guess it was mind sex. This time it's real sex. But it actually is kind of mind sex because I wanted to get in this issue of men not growing up, largely because of the porn culture / TikTok, Instagram culture, and other things that helps them stay in their Neverland, Peter Pan fantasy world for a while. Mm-hmm. Then they're like these adult children that can only attract crazies, like maybe I have done in the past. And then that cycle. And I thought that'd be interesting. And it's something that when I started this back in April, it was largely on the topic Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris, their debate discussions, whatever. And one of the things they went into earlier or touched on just for a minute was, oh, let's talk about porn. No, let's not do that. But it's a really interesting topic. But people not always want to get into it. And so since then, I was kind of interested to talk about a little bit and almost did with a lot of these male guests I've had, but never really got into it. And then I thought, oh, cool. Well, I've got kind of a female ex-porn star that doesn't mind talking about this stuff. It gives me I know you're not like a real ex-porn star necessarily, but it might be interesting to have the feminine perspective on it.
Okay.
In the way that you don't mind talking about it, because a lot of times if I talk with a female about anything related to pornography and things, then they might have an open mind about it like you do, but at the same time, they feel the urge to just be like, that's gross. I mean, God, men are just pigs and they should all be killed if they ever look at porn.
They're disgusting. It's
And then as soon as they do that, they go make a TikTok video or something where they're almost naked. They're like, I don't know why men like porn. They can just look at my titties.
So pretty much what Isaac is trying to say, but he's dancing on the screen. He's trying to dance right away. So
shaking my man boobs.
It's pretty much anyways, I shared something and I shared an e-girl. And so pretty much an e-girl, what is that? Like a electronic girl. So pretty much it's just a girl on the internet. So, I wouldn't say like our generation, like we didn't really had like e-girls or anything like that when we were growing up. But what we're saying
depends how you define growing up.
So like, okay, so when it comes to like pornography, a lot of women don't want to talk about it. Some do, some don't. If you ask a feminist, they will say that's pornography. It's like it's violence towards women. Some women are really open about it. Like me, I'm very open about it. I'm willing to talk about it. But I noticed that it's becoming for porn, it could become really addicting and very bad. Like, for instance, go ahead.
Yeah, addicting, but also to the point of this whole subject is, and this is how that Jordan Peterson gets into it a little bit, but you know, he doesn't want to talk for too many minutes in a row about pornography and things, is the fact that in our evolutionary substructure built into how the world operates is men have a large sexual urge to go out and procreate, especially from the time of approximately teenage years until sometime 10 or 20 years later, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so normally in our history, before we had pornography or these fantasy things, the only way we could really satisfy that urge for the most part would be to mate with a woman.
Right.
That's not exactly easy at any point in history. So what we'd have to do is become real men so we could attract a good mate. But because we can satisfy that urge now quite easily by pulling up a screen, looking at pornography, doing the solo sexual act, and then that's how men often stay in this Neverland fantasy world of not being able, of not having to grow up, because they don't have to do so in order to attract a suitable mature mate.
Well, like with masturbation, it's not bad. I think it's like necessary for both men and women to release themselves. You know, like you know, drain the pipes, you know, because if you don't, I think it was like Joe Rogan. He talked about that. He said he can't go 3 days without, you know, releasing the pipes. And when we're talking about e-girls and stuff like that, I think what Isaac is trying to say is that when you continue to release your pipes and then you don't, I don't need a woman in my life or anything like that. You never, I guess, grow up. And with the Peter Pan, you know, the Peter Pan thingamajig, it can become really unhealthy because of, I've heard stories of, you know, young men breaking into like their credit card information of their parents to pay girls, on like OnlyFans and stuff like that. And coming from a woman's perspective, a chick's perspective who used to work in the industry and stuff like that, it's very addicting where I'm not saying that if you want to work in like the porn industry, if you want to work in like be a prostitute and stuff like that, but do whatever you want to do. It's not my vagina. But the problem is, okay, that I see is that majority of the girls that you see like on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like it's like you're not going to be young forever. Right. And so these women are like their own version of Peter Pan where like a certain age, like my age, and they're like, oh shit, I'm not, you know, I've got
a finite amount of time to milk this body for all the funds I can get out of it. A couple of years, I'm going to still have a lot of beauty in a way, but not in a way that I can get this easy money out of it.
Right. And so a lot of these, what we call Instagram thoughts, right? So you start to see a lot of these young women who are, I don't know, you see a lot of them doing like the Japanese orgasm phase, you know, like the tongue sticking out and the, you know, they think it's cute. Oh. I don't think it's cute, but they think it's cute. And so even then, this is coming from both, you know, the guys are like, I feel like they don't want to face each other, if that makes sense. They don't want to face, I guess, the relationship part of it. Because I feel like, Isaac, you're single, right? The dating scenes.
I feel like
people are afraid of a commitment. That's what I see. A lot of people don't want to.
Yes, but that's only like one level of it.
Right.
Bigger, that's more simple yet more complicated, is the fact that the commitment adds a lot of complexity and discomfort that is a lot of times easier to avoid by doing other things than actually getting into that. That's why I sent you a short video clip before this where Jordan Peterson had that talking about this Peter Pan idea, how Tinkerbell, in his sort of metaphor, because in Neverland, the only female there is Tinkerbell, who's not even real. And he compared her to like this fantasy world of like representing the pornography woman that's in a man's heart. Because it's like this fantasy just doesn't exist, but that's what gets a man by in this Neverland fantasy world.
Right.
But that's the easier choice sometimes compared to growing up and going through the commitment of a relationship. Like, you are a married woman. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, if it ever seems strange that Boone and I are whatever, talking in some risque ways when we're like...
We're good friends.
Yeah, we're good friends, and we understand each other.
Yeah.
But I respect her sanctity of her marriage and all that. But what's interesting is you can go do your sex acts with your husband, and good for you and him, great. But in so doing, it's completely different than doing it by yourself, especially as a single person.
Right.
Not that, again, to clarify, it's not like, oh, if you jerk off, you're going to hell or whatever. But if you do that a lot instead of getting into a committed relationship, then that's how you get immature. And maybe this is kind of coming up in the mind now, because when this whole pandemic started, one of the big things was Pornhub gave out free, free premium for everybody for at least a month, like no questions asked, no credit card, no nothing. I think a lot of people at least guys use that to escape reality. And some of that may be coming to surface now, as far as like the females who didn't, or whoever it was, maybe older people, females, young people, whatever, they went through the process of this pandemic, which was like a maturing thing. It made people have to face reality in a new weird adventure way. And then a lot of guys are just like jerking off the whole time, or at least for a month or two while it was free premium until they used up all that, whatever.
It's more go ahead. Like it's more, okay. So this is my question for dudes. If you guys are listening, you're a dude, I think you can comment down below. Yeah. Isaac's going to click it down below. So with guys, like especially when they hit puberty. Mm-hmm. So like when these hit puberty, from the stories that I hear, from my guy friends, that the urge, like you can't really control the urge. Whereas with women, it's a little bit different. We are like, you know, we can actually compress that. I didn't get really like sexually active until like I was like 19 years old, because I was raised by very conservative parents. Mm-hmm. But like, I like with guys, when I hear a lot of story about the socks, I hear a lot of story about the blankets, you know, because they have to release that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like we're going to have a series that Ice is going to be my co-host on, that called it's the Wisdom of Rick and Morty, where Morty just keeps beating it with the machine.
Sometimes it's hard to keep track of their episodes. This is one thing I wanted to mention about that series, is that they only have like
five. They're working on season five right now.
So usually they have, you know, their season finale, their season premiere, and then they might have one or two that are like a mid-season finale premiere. So they only have about three or four per season that they make like canon, you know, like that are something to do with a bigger underlying story. And so all the rest of those episodes, which they're, I think they're what, 10 per season or something, 10 or 12 per season times four seasons now and more coming, they're just random stuff. It's just like, here's a show about random whatever that has nothing to do with the story, which is cool. But then the only thing with that is it makes it harder to reference things like... It's just random ideas like that.
I watch Rick and Morty all the time. And so anyways, the episode, let me explain to you guys.
Yes.
It's in season one.
Thank you
one.
For not losing track. when he gets the dog and he wants to train the dog.
No, so it was the part where Morty had to grow up.
Oh, no, it wasn't the dog.
Yeah, it wasn't the dog. It was the machine.
Sex bot. Okay,
the sex bot. And so Rick was, they went to like a thrift store. And then so Rick bought Morty this machine.
It was like an interdimensional thrift store.
Exactly. So it's it looks like Robocop, but a sexy version of Robocop, if you guys know what I'm talking about. So,
And then
Morty, you know, had sex with this robo sex doll, right? Yeah. And so he just kept doing it. So, and then it got pregnant, and then so Morty released that. And so Rick and Summer had to go to like this planet. And then it pretty much is just a planet that was raised by females, and they were like in charge. And so, yeah, men was the slave. So that's pretty much what they were trying to say about, you know, the youth of boys growing up. And so it's very aggressive. And this is where a lot of, I think, women don't understand that, you know, when it comes to like sexual urges, we are able to control it. Whereas with men, it's a little bit different. They have to release that. But when it comes to like the religious part, I don't know about their end and how they control their urges or, you know, things like that. But I think that controls the biological desire to breed that makes, you know, men do things that are just, you know, like women, our hormones make us cray cray, right?
Men get rapey and girls get like, oh, you looked at me, you're trying to rape me. And then, they get crazy in other ways.
I think with Heather Haying and Brett, I think his name is Brett. Yeah. Where they talk about on the Joe Rogan podcast about, you know, rape and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not condoning rape or anything like that, but why men act like the way that they do. Mm. And this is kind of a connection to the Peter Pan, where the urge, the desire for a wife and kids and stuff like that. That's pretty much what they want to do, is to breed and make their offspring, right? And then also, when it comes to women, a lot of the, when it comes to dating, a lot of the older men, they prefer younger women. Well, why? It's because younger women are able to have kids, whereas when you're becoming older, this is where it becomes very destructive. Fourth wave feminism, teaching that she has to be independent, she's happy. I mean, by all means, I mean, if you don't want any kids, you know, you're happy. I totally agree. But then there are some that are just miserable, in my personal opinion. So that she ends up with fucking cats, right?
Crazy cat ladies.
Crazy cat ladies. And this is what,
you know what's weird? I met this lady a long time ago. She was a crazy snake lady. She's like 60 years old or something. And I won't get into the whole story, but she had like every wall in her house was a snake cage or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's a crazy, crazy snake lady. So yeah, I think she, we don't have to go there. That's
it's like, it's episode. Like they want to care for something. Like you see a lot of my,
something phallic shaped.
And so I have a friend right now where she's a career independent woman. I'm very independent. So she works in the podcast industry. So she's, you know, she's very successful. And I noticed that she's starting to add a little bit more cats every day, right? To her. And I'm like, I'm starting to see cats.
How old is this female?
She's 29.
Okay.
She's 29. So her window is starting to close a little bit. Same with mine. My window is starting to close. So in the previous, or in my first episode with Isaac on the Daily Archetype, I did talk about how I'm becoming older. And so my window, I'm like, give me baby now.
Because it's an unconscious instinct.
Right.
It's strange because the unconscious instinct, because okay, here's the weird thing about it is that in females, the biological aspect of it, everything inside that uterus and everything about that uterus and all the chemicals that have to go in and out of it biologically, there's a lot going on there. That's why you only get like a window of like approximately puberty up until 35 to 45 ish.
Right.
What's strange is guys, on the other hand, all they got to do is somehow get their phallus.
They can make babies really old, man.
Yeah, especially right. Nowadays with like Papa Blue Pill and Donald Trump or whoever else can pop out a baby when they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in primitive cultures, archaic cultures or whatever, this was a problem that they recognized. Mm-hmm. You'd have like 40, 50, 60-year old guys going like, hey, baby, especially when that didn't have a place in its culture anymore. So it was completely the norm in archaic cultures for guys approximately 40 years old to be castrated.
Right.
So you know, almost like we do with our dogs and whatever animals now.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, you're like 40 year old that it's not going to make sense for you to have children now. Girls are a little bit different. Like they're just like, okay, I'll like do other things not related to the children's procreation so much. But guys are just like, hey, my penis and stuff. So nowadays we have to deal with that. But in like archaic culture, they just be like, hold him down. get the hot knife.
You know, it's like it's really it's interesting to me. I wish that I was more prepared for this podcast episode because I'm looking up a fertile male, which is somebody like Isaac. Human ejaculates between two and
so fertile.
Between 2 and 5 milliliters of semen, on average about a teaspoon. In each milliliters, there are normally about 100 million sperm. If the concentration falls to between 20 million sperm per milliliter, there's usually some trouble with fertility. So that's crazy. Like, why are you shooting that much fucking sperm? Why?
How much is it? It's a teaspoon per ejaculation?
Yeah, it's like the 2 million sperm per milliliter. Mm. Oh, 100. I'm sorry, 100 million sperm. It's a lot. And so with fertility, when it comes to like women too, we have a window of opportunity every single month where we know when we're fertile. And so,
put a baby in me.
So with like Heather Hang and Brett Weinstein, when they talk about it with Joe Rogan, there's a window of opportunity. And we don't know, women don't know when we're fertile. You know what I mean? So maybe possibly that's why dudes shoot like a fucking load. So that's a lie.
That's a new development that we can even approximate anything of knowing that in our culture for, you know, millions of years. I don't know when we figured out where babies came from or how it worked at all, but however many thousands of years we knew that, it was just like, okay, have to ejaculate in a woman like every day. And I mean, it still kind of is that way if you're trying to have children. It's most of the month, plant those seeds.
Yeah, and so that's where a lot of people prepared. I mean, I remember I had a friend who couldn't even when she was young, she couldn't even have a baby at all. Yeah. And so she was trying. And finally, at the age of 37, that's when she was successful. She didn't have any help getting pregnant. So it's really the idea of fertility and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's getting like our birth rate is starting to drop, and we were going to have a baby bus. That's what they said, because now that women have more control of their reproduction.
Baby bus, so to speak, in the modern world. Mm-hmm. Statistically, so this is just kind of like a statistic that I always kind of like every second one blow my mind, even if I just feel like constantly having my mind blown, is that every second on average, and the number hasn't really gone up during COVID,
right?
But right, two people die every second and four are born somewhere in the world,
right?
But in the world that we're in now, that's just a higher percentage of it is in the third world or something like that, at least not the
fucking
modern
China
world. China, India, and probably a lot of Africa,
yeah,
and those kind of areas where they're like, there's nothing else to do, we don't even have the internet yet, let's just make babies even if we can't feed them.
We don't have the internet yet. We don't have internet. We don't have Pornhub to release the pipes.
Well, or entertainment and education. I mean, you know, even in a lot of the modern world that's not quite modern, I don't know if you'd call that second world or what, but like,
right,
you know, one of the guys who, he got busy, moved to London or something, but one of the guys who originally started this group with me on Facebook a year ago was originally from Libya, and he would tell me how, and I guess they're technically third world, but they're sort of emerging, but how it's like almost impossible to get books there, and there's like, and that's actually most of the world where they have some kind of a authoritarian type government, and then even if they don't, but they're emerging into democratic society or whatever, it's still not that easy, because, you know, it's not like us, we can just click a button and then Amazon can deliver it in a couple hours or a couple days. They can't even use credit cards in a lot of these countries, you know, even if they wanted to,
right?
Or it's really hard to. And then they don't have like libraries, or they barely do, or they barely have universities. So, and that's kind of like this other starvation of the world that we often don't realize is, I forget what the number is, but at least 1 billion or 2 billion people in the world don't have internet. And then there's another portion of those, probably about 1 billion of the population of the world, can barely get books. They can get some, but it's very, very limited compared to like what we have. It's like in the knowledge aspect of it, they're still living like we were hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. And even here in the United States, I think I read something where it was like 19 million Americans, or like 6% of Americans don't have, they still lack internet. And I'm like blown away by it. And this is where it's very important for everybody to have books and stuff. And especially to me, I honestly believe that not only that our education system has failed us tremendously, but I think that when it comes to like reproduction and you know, the healthy way to masturbate and the unhealthy way, if you're just fucking beating your dick because you're like
addicted, thanks for helping us stay on track
addicting to it, you know, there's a bad thing too, you know, like that's what all you do, you know, it becomes really unhealthy. But we have to understand, when it's young boys, I get it. But then if you're like single and then you're just doing it and then you're miserable and you're single again. And, you know, I had a friend where we helped him. I helped him get a hold of that and try to urges, you know what I mean? I shouldn't say that because it seems like I was helping him beat it, but that's not what I'm saying.
Get a hold of that. So in this episode, we have to be careful with our euphemisms that can flow out.
So
Freudian slips.
So he was 41, And then he was single and he couldn't even find a mate at all. Like, like he couldn't find anybody. Nobody wants an, like, a, he's in LA. So he just couldn't find anybody and he was miserable. You know, he wanted to commit suicide many times already. So, and then I came into his life and helped him kind of, you know, grow up. And I think that's what was his issue, is that he just didn't want to grow up. And of course, when you live in LA, I think that's kind of common culture, right? You see a lot of people there who's like, you know, it's out there. It's, I don't know. I don't live in that area. Do you, Isaac?
Oh yeah. Actually, I'm pretty close to LA. And that's one thing that I'll say is, like, highly concentrated metropolitan areas, they have these layers of reality. If you are an immature Peter Pan boy, and this is kind of like the
a fuck boy
or a fuck yourself boy to get sort of technical about it, like like this
urban,
guy
the
an urban outfitter boy or whatever, that's part of what makes grown men still have the maturity of children or teenagers at best. Although what's interesting is, and this is kind of the point of that little video clip, and I'll probably like include it on the podcast or whatever. In a person's life, they normally go from children to in adulthood. What they do is they take on an apprenticeship period where that makes them sort of suppress their childlike aspect for a while. But then in the midlife somewhere, when they make that transition, then they will probably often, if they can do so healthfully, this is kind of a Jungian thing, although a lot of other people, including Nietzsche and others, talked about this as well, is you should then, after the midlife, become like a child again, or reintegrate that which you left in your apprenticeship years. In a place like LA, New York, and others, is you have these levels of reality. So if you go out and females, and you could just say that the dating market, whatever, mating market, they'll be testing you, like asking you questions, pushing your buttons, seeing what kind of a human being you are. And if they figure out that you're a weak, immature human being, and this may be going on mostly unconsciously, you won't have the most ideal mating selection to choose from. But if you mature and you become a real adult, then you transcend the Peter Pan phase, you grow up, you take on that responsibility, then all of a sudden, it's like you go into another level of reality. And so that's the tricky thing. Somebody like that in LA, where now I live like about an hour away from LA, but I have lived in closer to LA and even downtown LA for about a year, where it's strange because you can be in that world, and then you can just be like, oh, it sucks because I'm in this reality.
Right.
And you can act like that's the whole reality, but it's not. Because there's like millions and millions of people there, all you have to do is change a little bit of how you interact with the world, and then you like ascend to another level of reality.
Right.
Anyway, were you on a story about that guy in Peter Pan world?
Yeah, so now he's married. He just got married. And he's like, I don't know if he's going to have a baby or anything like that. But I think we did talk about like we talked about the coming of age, right? I'm so glad we don't do this live in person.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to laugh and we won't stop. Okay,
we'd just be rolling around the floor the whole time. But in a 6 feet apart, non-sexual way.
6 feet apart, 6 feet apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So with the like the religion and like the community, like with the sense of like individualism and stuff, like liberalism, you know, in the United States of America, like with the sexual revolution and stuff like that, the coming of age, it's not there no more. You think that's what it is? Like, you know, like they have rituals?
Like, oh, yeah, like bat mitzvahs and all those kind of things.
Right. And so like, you know, quinceañeras for like girls, you know, if they're 15 years old. I think, I remember the tribe, I think it's like in the Amazon tribe where they take bullet ants and put it in the boy's hand and let them bite them. And so it's like a, like you're dripping from one part of.
And it was, and it was just the normal of archaic cultures for like probably in the neighborhood of a million years or at least thousands and thousands of years where, at least in the archaic tribes or whatever, when a young boy becomes of that puberty age. I don't know how exactly they decided that, but when he's a teenager, we'll say, mm-hmm. they would have all these ritualistic, now you're a man things. And probably the most common straightforward is that they would, you know, put him out in the middle of the jungle and he's got to survive for like so many days or whatever. The reason that was important is because that boy figures out how, you know, there's going to be, and, you know, which is why I think it's a good idea that what can help, mm-hmm. maybe in the modern world, since we don't have these rituals, I never got in the military. Although, you know, one reason I didn't is because up until recently, it was just normal to be in all these weird foreign entanglement wars and everything that I'm against. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I don't necessarily agree with drone strikes, but that's, you know, conflicts are either solved economically or with drone strikes. So it might be a good time to get in the military, especially for a young man. But the reason I mention that is because that can allow a person time away from society and the internet, and to go through a lot of those kind of ritualistic things that a young man might when he's, you know, in those teenage years. Anyway, mm-hmm. and what it does though mentally is it makes the young person realize there's some things that he's going to have to figure out how to get through on his own, which is what right. they kind of do in basic training of the military mm-hmm. is, you know, you're like, not only can your mommy, daddy, and whatever else in your normal community not come to help you now,
yep.
But also this crew around you, this like military boot camp crew, whatever, they're going to humiliate you for the rest of your life in a lot of different ways if you mm-hmm. give up. And then that makes you kind of grow up and be like an independent person and insert you into a new subculture at the same time. So that has right. its advantages. But the point to what you are making is that we generally don't have those things anymore. And mm-hmm. often what will happen is men will pretend to be adults until they can't anymore. And then sometime in their 30s-ish, maybe between 30 and 40, that reality will come crushing upon them, which is partly, I believe, why that the, and not just divorce rate, but just like it's so much more normal now that long-term relationships don't last is the way that it is because men don't grow up until they're sometime between 30 and 40. And then either they will then grow up and hopefully have a happily ever after story like that guy you're talking about, mm-hmm. or they won't. And then they'll just kind of continue that pattern in some weird way forever. You know, there's like lots of guys that figure out how to do that and they might be successful in business or they might be bums or whatever, but they will be like 40, 50, 60, 70 year old babies.
Yeah, you can't be like a fucking player all your life.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, flashing the money and like, you know, like, yeah. I think it was like, so the story of like OJ Simpson, I shouldn't bring him up, but I'm going to bring him up anyways.
Bring it.
So with OJ Simpson, I think with young athletes, I think they're kind of forced into this, you know, fame. Right. And I think fame is really destructive for people who are really
well,
young.
And they have like millions of dollars that they kind of right. didn't earn, you know?
Right.
And I'm, of course I'm for, I'm not saying they shouldn't get that money, but to just have like
give it to a young person.
Yeah. Give it to like an 18, 19, 20 year old kid. Here's like millions of dollars. What do you think he's going to do with it? Cocaine and hookers. You
know? I think he was like 16 years old when he got into NFL. No?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know the whole OJ story, but continue your OJ story.
And so like with OJ Simpson, he became really destructive. He became really aggressive. And then he made a music video when he was like, it's almost like fucking 70 years old and shit, throwing like money signs and gang signs. And I'm like, dude, he never grew up. That's the thing. He never grew up. And
he still hasn't.
No, he still hasn't. I think he just got released not too long ago and all his stuff was all sold out. And so that's an example of somebody that you don't want to be like a man who just don't have any kids or anything like that. And so
Peter Pan
with women, it's a little bit different because we know our age when we start our period, right? Oh, there you go. Yep. We're fucking women now, and that's pretty much all we have. We have coming of age, whereas with men, it's a little bit different. They need that. They don't necessarily, well, I don't know they need, but they need that ritual. They need that because with us, we know already, like Jordan Peterson said, that our purpose is the babies, right? This is why you hear a lot of older women becoming really crazy because their kids leave the nest And so that was our purpose.
Yeah, empty nesters.
And so I felt the same way. I start to understand what they're talking about because my son, he's only like 5 years old. Mm. So he went to school. I have nobody. And I'm over here shit.
Up until kindergarten-ish, you're probably with him like all the time.
Right. All the time. So I'm not really used to him being gone. And I can't not imagine him high school and then college. And so that mommy thing, it's starting to like come out a little bit. Mm. And so that's what Peterson is trying to say. A lot of people said that he was being sexist, but I get it. Majority of them who accuse him of that don't understand because they don't have kids. I have a kid. Right. And so there you go, you know, but with men, it's a little bit different.
That's the thing with Peterson too, is okay. A lot of the issues that people have with him, and it's mostly just shadow projection. We might get into that another time. I don't know if we'll have time today, but he tries to bring up what the reality is and not just, and then he's not like be like anti-feminine, anti-feminist, whatever, but he's like, here's the biological reality. This is what's going on inside of a female's body in particular during this time frame. And here's what's going on inside of a man's body and mind. That's why Deborah So, she is not as outspoken like he was, but she gets a lot of hate from certain groups just because she's saying, here's the scientific reality. She is, by the way, a sex psychologist.
I think so.
I don't know.
Let me Jamie it.
She was a sex researcher. She would just come out and say, here's some biological realities. And then she would get all kinds of hate for it and forced out of her academic career. There's a lot of others, like to a certain degree, that was Brett Weinstein's issue, although his was different. I want to get on, see if I could talk to Benjamin Boyce about that. He's got a YouTube channel. And
Benjamin Boyce is just awesome, isn't he?
But he was going to Brett Weinstein's university at that time. And that's kind of how his thing started.
Yeah. So she was Dr. Deborah So, I think that's, she was a former academic sex researcher. So her thesis was functional and structural neuroimaging of, I guess, paraphilic hypersexuality in men. So that's where her study is. And when we were talking about the difference between men and women, I know, you know, the difference, and I kind of accept that, you know, like, so with our brains is a little bit different. We use, I think with women, we use both, like a lot of our brain, whereas with men, I don't know how much they use.
So that's another interesting thing because, okay, part of what I was trying to get into here was how men that stay children end up attracting crazies, which is just kind of something that I heard today.
We're going to be talking about Isaac as well.
Yeah. which is kind of because the reason we got into this, and maybe it's me diverting from my own personal stories, because in my dating or relationship past, it was a lot of crazies. Although I don't necessarily know if that's the case so much as immature men, like maybe I was in times in my past, was we would bring out the crazy in people because everybody's a little crazy. But if you're immature, then you bring out that latent craziness. And then the other aspect to that goes into women that I find really interesting is, and this is an area where women, I think, have a lot more potential to be, you know, superior to men in a lot of ways, is that they're more wired for using their whole bifurcated brain more readily. But I think there's a challenge to that too, if they're not careful, because then a lot of times the women are like, they kind of like flop back and forth between the unconscious, which is like the repressed or suppressed side, and the conscious side. And they can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then that's how sometimes they seem like crazy witches. Like in the history of women, you know, they would get a little act crazy like that. Maybe they're just having a time of the month or whatever, and then
the woman's like, excuse me.
And then men would be like, oh, those are just witches, so burn them at the stake. And you know, now we laugh about that, but that was like a part of our horrible history.
I think with coming from me, I can attest to that. When I was a lot younger, when my hormones was all over the place, I was like crying a lot. I was crazy. I'm still crazy a little bit, but audience, we do want to get to, we were talking about this, what we're going to be talking about today, where me and Isaac was trying to figure out why both of us attract crazy.
Yeah, and see, I don't know if it's so much that we attract crazies or we just bring it out in them. And
so with me guys, I would say that I am married to a cis male, I guess that's what they call him, right? A cis white dude. Okay.
Oh wow, you mentioned all those things. Don't let anybody know where you live, or he might.
And so that's pretty much what I'm attracted to. But at the same time, I would love to be in another relationship with a female, right? And that's how I used to date in the past, where I had.
Oh, you were like a tequila.
Yeah, so both male and female. I would love to have both of them in between, right? But it's not going to work that way. That's not, you don't get what you want. So
yeah, yeah. Can't get all.
Isaac is the same way. Yeah, so Isaac is, he doesn't understand what I'm trying to say, but he attracts really beautiful women. And he was like, oh, I don't see it. But at the same time, me and Isaac bring out the best in people, because we have.
The best and the worst.
We've been stalked. We've been almost ran over. We've been almost, by women, mind you. Never men with my part.
Yeah, yeah. Attempted stabbed. A lot of times the police called on me when I was just minding my own business, like literally.
You know, and so with me, I had women that get really crazy and try to like smash my fucking head in with like a rock, you know, it's not even sexual. It's even like just female friends that get really like sexual.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot of stories like that. I've never been a female, and I never will be a female that I know of. But I've heard a lot of stories of females having these craziness things. Female, even just friends.
Right.
And
right.
So I think what will happen is they will often develop these weird, what's the word for it? What's that disorder that girls get a lot of?
The one I hear a lot, in my personal opinion, is I hear borderline personality.
Yeah, yeah. My last serious ex was definitely.
They disassociate a lot.
And sometimes, especially the beautiful ones, they'll have narcissistic aspects. And so they'll have like a disassociated personality and like a dual personality sometimes.
Right.
And what'll happen that's different from guys, and by the way, however I talk about male, female, and their various differences, I do look at them as equal, but interestingly diverse.
Right.
And one way is that thing about males that can be an advantage and a disadvantage is that we're highly specialized. And then what that does is, well, because we can't multitask at all usually. Some kind of can, depending on how that they became more creative or whatever the case might be. They will become so specialized, that's what will make their repressed side or shadow side or anima side become super strong, but super like in the dark, and it'll only once in a while rear its ugly head in like these, you know, shadow moments that come about, until often that midpoint in life when there's like a break that'll like rip a guy's brain out and put it back in. Whereas girls, it's different, not necessarily in a value assigned way, but it's different because they're not as specialized, which should be an advantage or can be an advantage. Which also I think makes it potentially different for how they make that midlife transition, because they don't get too overly specialized. But then girls definitely will make that midlife transition, but I think it's more related to their birth window compared to guys. It's more related to a mental thing.
Right. It's more like with women, it's our body that makes us.
with girls, it's their body. With men, it's their mind.
It's their mind. Exactly. It's like with majority of the cray-cray that I dealt with are older menopausal women. It has nothing to do with jealousy.
I've never dealt with the menopausal type, really.
No, like, oh my God. It's just like, girl. Why? It's like, and this is where I think maybe the issue is that even though, like I say, that I get along with more men than I do with more women or whatever, you know, that's what a lot of these females say, but I think my issue is maybe the fact that I was raised. So like my dad was very feminine. He didn't really have a job or anything like that. He was like a lazy bum. So my mom had to like take on that role. So maybe the fact that I was a little bit confused between the two, like, okay, are you my mom and my dad? You know what I mean? So I don't know why I attract these type of women. So I feel like it's, maybe it's myself or it's ourself. Is it ourself or is it the people in around us? Like, why do people want to kill us, especially women?
And why do people want to kill women, or why do women want to kill people?
Okay, so you almost got stabbed. I almost got ran over, but it's always the same. We're not saying all women are crazy, but girls, come on. We can't.
Come
be.
On, girls.
We can be crazy.
Especially the last couple of years, as some of my friends start to see me as a person to talk to about some of these things. And I just know guys my age that go through these challenges with females and things. They come to me and they talk about it. But one thing that I find from also talking to other guys too, in particular, is that a lot of times what people want to do, but often, especially women, and again, it's nothing against women, but it's just how things work out. Maybe it's part of the unconscious coming about thing or challenging each other thing, is they want to test their limits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it's that guys are so stupid. Well, because really, guys are so stupid that they will often be actually violent. You know, and that's like a serious thing. And that's why, and part of it too is the whole physical aspect to it, in that men are approximately twice the mass of a female.
Right.
Or, you know, each man is approximately twice the mass of a female, roughly speaking. So there's the physical aspect of it. And not just in male on female violence, but even male on male violence. And, you know, males are more violent. And that's part of probably the testosterone chemical aspect to it. So it's like men are stupid in a more real way, in that they go beyond their limit sometimes in the wrong way. But females, I think, sometimes will find weird ways to test their limits without actually physically going over them.
Mm-hmm.
So like the girl who tried to run you over the car, she didn't actually run you over the car, or you would be either, you know, dead or in the hospital, right?
Right.
So same thing with the girl who tried to stab me. She only did so in a weird way that was like at my arms when I was wearing like a leather-like jacket. So people try to test their limits, but in a weird way, I think females are more in tune with the reality of it's like a drama, figuring out the limits, but not actually physically going over them. Whereas guys often will be so stupid that they will actually physically go over them. That's not across the board, but in a statistical variation, especially because the testosterone aspect and the physical aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is why you see a lot of men who are serial killers. And then if you compare that to the numbers, there are less female serial killers, and with men it's... When women murder... Yeah.
Well, serial killer is like a whole other level to it, too.
It's crazy. And I hope we have an episode where we both talk about that, where we break down the serial killer brain. So if you compare the statistics between the two, the men and the women, men are more likely to commit mass murder. Mm-hmm. Whereas women, they commit... They kill within the group. Like, they kill their kids, they kill their husband, they kill their family member, or even their mother-in-laws. But... Mm-hmm. With men, it's a little bit different. They go outside the range and then kill. That's pretty much what they do. So you can see the difference between male and female brains and how they pretty much operate.
And so, how they operate in the physical world, even.
Physical world, too. And then this is where you see the connection between them choosing jobs, choosing mates and stuff like that. So going back to the... to males dating e-girls and stuff like that, it's a fantasy world that they want to see. So like between the, you can see how, you know, men are a little bit different. So with the feminists nowadays, and I'm not trashing on feminists, but girls, you need to chill the fuck down with that pussy hat.
Pussy hat. Is that what you called something? What's the pussy hat?
You remember the women's march that had that pussy hat, the pink hat?
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay,
like, calm the fuck down. Okay, all right. Okay, Miss Independent, calm down. All right. It's like you need some orderly in your life and put some pee-pee in there.
And it's really confusing because it's like with all these waves of feminism and everything, it's confusing of like, what's rape? What's consent? Do they encourage pornography? Do they not encourage pornography?
It's really confusing. And this is where, again, going back to even pornography is another good example where a lot of women think they're okay doing it. I'm okay with it because whatever, you know, that's do you boo, that's your boob, whatever. Right. And so,
freedom,
it's like with guys, you know, they're feeding into that where like I said, they're feeding to each other. You know, you see fake boobs now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I bought some of those.
You bought
not for myself. For
I was like, what? It's like you see a lot of the fake, you know, like a lot of more makeup. When I was like, you know, in my teens and stuff like that, back in the day.
Back in the day when I was coming up.
Now you see a lot of women, they're doing a lot of contours, they do a lot of like fake makeup, lip plumps. I'm like, wow.
Brazilian butt lift.
Well, you live in LA, man. That's what you see a lot, right? Can you tell if it's fake?
Sometimes, but it's strange because it's almost like it's really weird because, yeah, I am in that neighborhood, and even being in Orange County, you know, which is a little ways out of LA, it's the same thing, basically all of Southern California. And I feel like there was a learning curve that the females went through where there was, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago, 10 to 15 years ago.
So you're talking about like 2008?
Somewhere in that range where there was like a boom of plastic.
Right.
We were like another Silicon Valley or whatever. It was so bad though that it was like girls like having these weird lips and these weird things that just didn't look real at all. Between the culture getting better at seeing that and the girls like seeing that doesn't look good when it's so totally fake, and also the doctors getting better at their magical artistry, whatever, it blends in more to be normal-ish slash not as fake-ish slash more accepted part of reality. But it's a strange world we're in.
It leads up to the like in the 90s where you know, because I know a lot of girl bands. I don't know, Isaac probably didn't know this about me, but I know a lot of girl bands.
Girl girl and your girl like, bands.
So like with, you know, I start to see a little bit of my music that I listen to, like I go back and I listen to like TLC and stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute,
Salt and Pepper.
Wait a minute. I'm like, they're very highly sexualized because sex sells.
Oh, yeah.
So they think, okay, is, you know, being half dressed and dancing and shaking my butai, it's going to get a lot, it's getting a lot of people to like me, right? And so, like, going back to what you're talking about, like 2008-ish, you see like the Pussycat Doll and Danity Kane coming out, and you see a lot of the songs that they're talking about, even Promiscuous, you know, with Nelly Furtado talking about like openly sexually, you know, like one night stands. That was like a thing, you know, and a lot of women during that period of time when I was, you know, young, where they were like having partners.
Even Britney Spears, when she was coming on the scene in the late 90s, early 20-ish years ago, that was like a big thing when she like became very sexualized. And I was never like a big Britney follower, but
her first music video was very
That was like a big deal, which is strange because we think of sometimes how it was like the 60s-ish, maybe 70s, whatever, like before we were born, the boomer generation-ish, that became so sexualized. But that was tip of the iceberg. Now, like, the icebergs, like, mostly come out of the water somehow, in a strange metaphor. But now, it was only about 20 years ago that we start becoming, like, super hyper-sexualized.
Right.
And it's not, like, putting the blame on Britney or any one person. It's just, like, this this consumer
Leave
culture.
Britney alone! You know that guy's a gay porn star now, by the way? Did you know that?
Who's a gay porn star?
The guy who made the video, Leave Britney Alone.
Oh, I don't know. I can't keep track of all these things.
And so, like,
I don't watch gay porn. thanks for the update on that. But
he's a very successful influence now, and he doesn't look like
successful gay porn
dude. He doesn't even look like that at all. He completely changed to this like muscular type of dude, and he looks like a regular person. So it really blows my mind. But anyways, with females nowadays, to me, and I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna get a lot of backlash, I think they don't take responsibility. And the reason being is that they're highly sexualized, right? and then they do these very impulsive behaviors, mm-hmm. right? Men can get away with it at the fact that, you know, when you have sex, you can pump it up and bam, you're gone, right? Whereas mm-hmm. with women, you're stuck with that child. And this is where I recommend a lot of women to be careful. You can go do you, boo. But at the same time, be careful that you are a female mm-hmm. that can get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so they blame a lot of, I hear a lot of men bashing now. I'm not really used to that at all. Like yeah. mansplaining, manspreading. I have never heard of any of these terminologies. Yeah, yeah. And so to me, I feel like this entire thing that's going on with women, this trend, it's really destructive to their sense of well-being, their self-esteem mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So not only are it, not only is it affecting women, it's affecting our men too, our boys.
You know, the females have this seed, this portal of life inside of them as mm-hmm. a uterus and all that. Well, and it's not just the responsibility of like, okay, if there's a pregnancy, but then it's like, that's just another tip of the iceberg. But the other aspect of it too is like, guys, generally speaking, you know, don't feel any different, like physically, whereas girls have all these different
feelings.
Feelings and cycles in their body and in their emotions and in their time of the month, and well, all that they go through with birth control, where hopefully maybe they can figure something out that works for them and their birth control thing. If they're going to be sexually active and take that upon them, good for them. But if they figure that out, then great. But if they don't, and then they become sexually active with someone, then they have to worry about like, oh, did I get any seed in me? So I'm gonna have to do like morning after pill, which is another thing. Right. I've never had to take a morning after pill, never will. But from what I hear, it's not a good experience. Like, right. It's painful and all that.
I wouldn't say that.
Maybe the word's not painful, but it sucks.
In my personal opinion, I would never see myself getting an abortion or anything like that, because I know that when I have sex, I know that there's a chance of me becoming pregnant. Oh, Michael, well, I don't want to get pregnant again. And just like, the thing is that I think that this is in regards to both men and women when they're having sex. I think you start to see this like in the 80s and stuff start to happen where people have sex just for pleasure. Yeah. Whereas I believe there should be a different trend where you have sex as in a way to make a connection, like a spiritual connection between the two. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you as a married person, when you do the sexual thing with your spouse or partner, whatever we're supposed to say now to be PC. yeah, I can never keep track. One day we're supposed to say this. Now we're supposed to, I think where everybody's supposed to say, yeah. When you and they, your sexual romantic partner, there is a dynamic or a dynamism, whatever you want to call it, between the two of you that's very good and healthy and all those things that happens when that happens.
Right.
But it doesn't happen if you're by yourself with Tinkerbell.
To kind of, right.
Bring it back. And again, you're not necessarily going to hell if you whack it here and there.
We're connecting. Me and Isaac are connecting like this big tree of life, where it's just it's like this big tree of life. Mm. And his shirt, he's wearing a shirt that's pretty much the whole conversation that we're talking about today.
Yeah. And it has a spaceship flying around.
And so like the thing is that I hate this idea that a lot of these young women think that that's pretty much what men want. I mean, when they, you know, stick their tongue out and look all sexy and, you know, fish face and tongue out and stuff like that, it's signaling the pleasure side of men, whereas it's not signaling the commitment part of men. And I feel like so asking you, and I know I don't want to get too personal, you don't have to tell me, so do you have a hard time dating? Well, the COVID really fucked that up. So like, what would you prefer now that you're in your like 30s? Do you feel you're like, nope, I'm not swiping right today? Like me, okay, if you're single and you're listening to this, don't use Tinder. Those are a bunch of freaking hoes on there, all right?
Yeah.
don't use Tinder. Or if you're a dude, don't use Grindr.
the worst thing about those apps, not just Tinder, even Match, even, you know, people try to meet through Instagram and all these things, it's more of that creating a Neverland.
That's true.
And especially because even if you're like a guy that's like, oh, I'm going to be nofap, or I'm going to like...
nofap, no, not November or October. Or,
yeah, whatever. But I'm going to try to, you know, not whack off all the time or whatever, not live in that Neverland. And then you're looking at whether it's swiping left, right, or whatever your thing is with Tinder, and you can have like 5 or 10 swipe apps and Instagram and all this stuff. If guys get into that, then the one advice that I would give them is, I forget where that setting is on your iPhone, if you have iPhone, or I don't know if it's in Android now, where it can show you your screen time per application. And because a lot of the guys, and maybe I've been there at some point in my life, where it's like spending a lot of time on those apps, where it might feel like a few minutes here and there is no big deal, but it adds up to sometimes like hours a day where you could be like learning a whole new profession, or how to write, or how to draw, or whatever. But
podcasting.
Podcasting. Yeah. This has been great, learning how to podcast. But if you're just like looking at like, oh, swipe left, swipe right. And then even like beyond the swipes, then there's the whole like talk to a person, like get all excited into it. And then that person ghosts you because either they didn't like you or they found somebody else, whatever. It's just like another version of false reality that allows a person to not grow up. And it's not like, oh, you're going to go to hell. And this is how that it went into the whole Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris talk that I kind of originally started these live streams on, or whatever, back in April. Was, I think it was Sam Harris was like, oh, we don't need to deal with like the whole like, oh, if you're going to go to hell for masturbating. And then they kind of like went on that subject for a minute or two, and then they didn't want to get in that. You're too like, much. You kind of do go to hell for masturbating, but not necessarily a literal eternal damnation hell. Who knows after death? We're not saying that you do literally, but figuratively you kind of do. In that Neverland, you get stuck in this false reality. And that false reality, like, especially if you meet guys or whoever that are in this alternate reality. Well, a good example that comes to mind is that guy who you talked about earlier.
My friend that got married.
And I only know this from what you just told me, but he represents kind of a common thing in today's culture, especially in an area like LA. Somebody who's in hell, in their own weird version of hell, / Neverland, whatever. And because of him making a decision and apparently finding a worthy romantic partner and help that he got from friends like you, he was able to escape hell and get back into the normal world and ascend into something higher now. So that's why I was glad to hear that happy ending to it.
Yeah. And so it was really difficult because I had to like help him. I had to remove him from the fantasy world that he was trying to do because when he first moved to LA, he wanted to be an artist. He wanted to do all these things. I mean, he never really got into like the drug scene or anything like that, I think he got stuck in that zone where he was every day, he was on porn and stuff like that. He still does. I mean, but he has somebody to watch it with now. Okay. But like I helped him a lot through dreams and tried to like decode everything. So,
oh, wow. You're like a dream interpreter.
Yeah. So like, so that's pretty much what I do, is that I'm really good at matchmaking. I don't know if anybody is interested in my services.
Yeah. Call now 1-900.
And so that's pretty much what I helped him. And every single day I was there for him. I tried to pull him out of his own hellhole. And with men, it's a little bit different because they're successful in committing suicide. It gets really sad when they're stuck in that cycle. And so I hope that if you are listening to this in the daily archetype, you can reach me too. And so I think that it's really harmful for our boys, and it's really affecting them, not only for our women. I mean, that's we did talk about that too, but it's just, we're starting to see like the cycle of suffering that's happening in everybody's world right now, especially when it comes to dating, and nobody wants to be alone. All right. Nobody wants to be alone. Somebody, you know, we're not saying that loneliness is a bad thing. I'm an introvert. You know what I mean? Like if my husband died or something like that, I'm not going to, it's like, you know, it's like, I shouldn't say that. Like, I have my own, I enjoy my own company, man. I really do. I really enjoy my own company. Oh. I think not only do I think that it's really good to surround yourself with other people and actually go into the real world. I'm not talking about Facebook, go into the real world, learn how to be by yourself too. I think that's another thing. I think Isaac sent me a video of him walking his dog, Barry, and I love Barry.
Yeah.
And he enjoys his own company. Isaac enjoys his own company. I enjoy my own company.
I learn a lot from Barry.
Yeah. Yeah. And is he asleep underneath you?
Not underneath me. He jumped in the bed and he's sleeping in the bed right now.
And so, you know, get a dog. And this is where Peterson comes in again, where he said, get a dog. Get your, you know, literally take time out of your day and stuff and really focus on something, not just masturbation and stuff like that, because the internet is a dark hole. It's an abyss that can be very, very dangerous, not only for women, but also for our boys.
Like, okay, even Joseph Campbell in some of his speeches, he talks about how we project onto nature, including, you know, he drew out this little diagram by hand that is in a lot of his speeches you can find on YouTube or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or generally speaking, people project into nature, which he gave the example of trees, but then also a dog, because we project onto animals. But of course, dogs are like one of the main ways that we interact with nature. Dogs are really interesting because they have kind of co-evolved with man for at least something like between 30 and 80,000 years, roughly speaking, being part of our social fabric. It's weird now because I'm like, Barry's three now, and because he can't really reach the other he's only like 4.5 pounds, he can't really reach the other dogs. Even like if he tried to like make another baby, he can hardly ever find a dog that he can reach to impregnate. So it's like, I don't want to, like, if I can avoid having the inhumane idea of having his balls removed, I'd rather not. But then this kind of like ties into our subject today, is like, sometimes he'll like beg for me to take him out or all this stuff. He's like, oh, we just went out, you know, to like having this like conversation with him as he like gives me those I want to walk signals after we just went a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And in a fatherly sort of way, I'll notice that he's got some white cream flowing out of his Twinkie, we'll say. And he's not even really the humpy type of dog. Anyway, I say all that to say, it shows how males generally, even cross species, we've got this juice, you might call it an aspect of the libido function or testosterone and whatever else. And we don't even know what to do with it. We're just like, we need to go out and like do stuff. Normally in our million plus year history, we could channel that into becoming a real man, go like catch a deer, feed it to a woman, and then we could procreate with her and whatever.
Right.
But now it's just like pull down some porn and jerk off, spray it in the sock, like you mentioned. Remain a Neverland Peter Pan boy.
Yeah.
And then go play some video games or something else to stay in Neverland.
Yeah, it's pretty destructive. And we, like I said, we highly recommend, you know, masturbation is healthy for men and women. We still do it, and you'll continue to do it, because women, ladies, pay attention to me. In your 30s, you're going to hit second puberty, and it's going to be a lot different. Okay. You know, it's a lot different. You are at that age where you're like, give me baby, and it's gonna be your
put a baby sex
drive. Your sex drive is gonna be all over the place. Okay.
That's the weird thing. I've never, like I said, I haven't had issues with like menopausal girls, but dating girls in their 30s at times, it's kind of crazy, because sometimes they aren't so forthcoming about it, but sometimes they're like,
you know, like,
put a baby in me, and I'm like, oh, I don't necessarily want to do that right now. Maybe so, like, after we develop our like
I don't know if other ladies can relate to me, but like, okay, so you hit your first puberty when you're like 11, 12, sometimes even early as 9. I never heard 9 years old your boots start to form and stuff like that. Then you hit another one. You hit your teens, and then after that, in your 20s, that's when you're psychotic, and then
that's when you're psychotic. I'm glad you said it, not me.
And then you hit 30s, that's a little bit different, and then you hit another one, your menopause. So we go through our own stages.
Wait, what are those approximate ages again, just to get the timeline straight?
So like so a lot of women, they start their first period between 9 and then after that between 9 and 17-ish, 18. Mm. That's when you're dealing with your first puberty, your first stage. And then you go through your, I guess, second one, because I'm feeling it, where, you know, my voice used to be a lot higher. I used to sound a lot higher, and now I'm more deeper and more.
That's because you talk all the time now.
No, that's not true.
I know.
So like then 30s, then your 30s and your 40s, that's when your window of opportunity to make your baby. And then after that, you hit fucking menopause. And that, I believe, I don't know how long that lasts.
Just how many are there?
like 4, I believe.
4 or 5.
Our body. Like, okay, so like, you remember when we said that with men, they deal with their minds, whereas women, we deal with our bodies. That's what I see. And then, so then after that, you either turn to a mean bitch or a nice bitch, because my mom hit like a menopause, and she's like this totally different person. She's all fucking chill out, man. She's like far out.
She's far out.
My mom's like freaking far out. She's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I mean, of
course, a far out Catholic.
She's like a completely different person. And I feel like women, we finally reached that age where we're like, I'm done.
You know what's strange too, just to think about these things as you're mentioning them, is, you know, it's hard to say anymore, because nowadays people have put off having kids until they're like 30 something.
Some people freeze eggs, by the
way. Especially if you keep up with the Kardashians, they probably got like a vault of them and everything else. They're gonna repopulate the world with things to keep up with and everything else.
They're fucking dumbass babies.
Yeah, they're dumbass babies. They're gonna take over the world. Who knows with when the aliens come and they get the vault of Kardashian eggs and sperms and whatever else.
Kanye babies.
Kanye babies. Kanye 2020 represent. Now you made me lose my train. Because now I'm just like, the first presidential debate is coming up on Tuesday. Some people are like, oh, you're going to watch that? I'm like, you know what? Without Kanye, it's nothing. You got to have Kanye in the debate.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to watch Keeping with the Kardashians if Kanye's not there, all right?
It would be such a great, there's like a bunny trail, whatever, but it'd be such a great debate if it was Joe Rogan moderating, Joe Jorgensen, Kanye West, and then the other two old guys. That'd be a great debate. Like,
oh my God, that
I would be able to watch that forever.
It's going back over and over again.
Yeah.
But, so anyways,
get us back on track, please.
I'm going to get my tacos.
Oh, we're going to get tacos.
So I, as a chick, we never figure out what we want to eat, but I know what I want to eat today.
So, you're into tacos today. All right.
Tacos, man. Menudos and tacos.
No judgment. Sorry I rambled too much.
Kept on track today.
Yeah, thanks for keeping me on track until I lost track at the last minute. And then you're just like, I'm going to eat some tacos.
I'm hangry. It was nice talking to you guys. It was nice talking to Isaac. And I hope you guys come and hang out with me in my far out universe.
We'll figure out what was going to happen there with all these like 50 puberties and
50 puberties.
Everything else that girls go through with their bodies while guys are going through it with their minds.
And girls don't talk about it. They don't. We suffer internally, man. I don't know.
That's sad.
It comes out through our dudes. It comes out through our dudes. That's when you start to see that.
Wow. Thanks for coming to my universe. We'll see you in your universe. Enjoy your tacos. Stay archetypal.
Bye. Universities facilitate it, because you can go to university to not be something instead of going to university to be something. And that's, it's Pleasure Island. And the price you pay for it, especially in the U.S., is debt. And you're enticed into it because the administrators can pick your pocket. So they rob your future self while allowing you to pretend that you have an identity, right? Very nasty. And you can't declare bankruptcy with your student loans in the US. It's indentured servitude. And it's precisely Pleasure Island. It's exactly that. And so tuition fees have shot way out of control. And part of the reason that universities don't make more demands on their students and let them get away with all the things they let them get away with is because they're basically, why the hell would you chase them out? They're $100,000 or more. So they can do whatever they want as long as you get to sell them to the salt mines. Right. So, and you know, it's not the only reason, because the other thing that's happened is that the rate of technological transformation is so fast now, and the rate of turnover of things is that it is genuinely harder for people who are, say, 18 to 20. When I was a kid, roughly speaking, the kind of rough patch for life was probably 14 to 17, something like that. Now I think it's 18 to 25, something like that. And I think the reason for that is that all the jobs that the bloody hippies complained about being doomed to in the 1960s have now disappeared. Their problem was, oh my God, I'm going to go have to work for a corporation and get a salary for the rest of my life, you know, and then I'll just end up in it with a pension and that'll be my whole life. It's like, well, it seems like a lot better deal than an endless round of part-time Starbucks jobs. So, you know, some of it is that. It's just there's a space now in our culture that is lacking for people to make that transformation from adolescence into adulthood. And so it's the cost of that is forestalled. It's not a good thing.
Complex ideas down to earth based on their value, night group identity. This is the Daily Archetype.